Welcome to Eat This Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore, and I am happy to be here with you. We do this twice a week, bring in a guest to chew on God's Word, share what they have been wrestling with, as my grandpa would say, for your edification and encouragement. And this week we have the magnanimous, the legendary, the mythic, Sean Duncan.
Back again.
Welcome, Sean.
Thanks, man.
You just preached and you're already in here.
I know.
I thought it'd be like 3 or 4 weeks before I could pin you down.
Yeah. Yeah, you just kept asking me though, and well, finally I caved.
Well, that's how I won Rachel over. Brute force tactics. Nice. Well, what do you have for us today?
I have personally been working through the book of Jonah.
Ooh.
At an extraordinarily slow pace. But I wanted to talk about Jonah 2.
Okay.
With you, which is famously Jonah's prayer from where? Where does he pray
Nineveh.
From? Nope.
Dang it. Not Nineveh.
What is the location of his prayer?
Is it inside the whale?
It's inside the fish.
Yes.
Yes. The big great fish. Yeah.
It's a whale. Historians have decided.
So Jonah's a unique book on a handful of, for a handful of reasons. But one reason is it's a narrative about a prophet when all the other prophetic books are like the words of a prophet.
Interesting.
Hosea is kind of a narrative around a prophet. Jeremiah, parts of it are narratives about the prophet Jeremiah. But the book of Jonah, like, it's not his oracles to Nineveh.
Yeah.
I mean, you get one sentence, but really it's this story of this ironically unfaithful prophet who is fleeing from God, doing everything in his power to go away from the presence of the Lord. And the book's full of irony. Like Jonah will say he fears God who made the land and the sea, but then he'll get onto a boat on the sea and try to flee away from God. But then like pagan sailors end up actually fearing God and worshiping him. And the book has a really cool structure to it. It's really easy to see. Like if you look at chapter 1, verse 1, it's God speaking to Jonah. Mm-hmm. And then you get to chapter 2 and it's Jonah speaking to God. And then you get to chapter 3 and it's God speaking to Jonah. And then you get to chapter 4 and it's Jonah speaking to God. So it's
like that.
It's like this dialogue back and forth between God commissioning his prophet and then the prophet speaking back to God. Mm-hmm. The book has a great challenge. It's a book that people should love and should read for many reasons. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, Chris.
We're not talking about Jonah?
Well, we're talking about Jonah, but Jonah chapter 2.
Okay.
Okay. Which is a prayer. Like, the big question is this a prayer of repentance, or is Jonah being, like, kind of sly and, like, saying sorry without saying sorry? Uh-huh. But anyway, I don't care about that. That's not why I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, this is nerdy, but the Hebrew Bible, so the way the Hebrew Bible is organized is chapter 2 actually starts with what we have as chapter 1 verse 17.
Mm.
It's not like a huge, it's just like someone was making numbers, just like we have headings at random places. Like, they're not part of the inspired text. Right. It's just a way to help us move around. But I think that actually makes more sense, because in my English Standard Version of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And then the way chapter 2 ends, verse 10, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So you have like this frame of God appointing or speaking to a fish and the fish doing something.
Yeah.
So it starts with God appoints a fish to swallow Jonah, and it ends with God speaks to a fish to vomit Jonah. Mm-hmm. And then everything inside of those brackets is Jonah's prayer in the fish to God.
Okay.
So we're just using the natural constraints of the text that frames the prayer of Jonah inside of this fish.
Okay.
All right. So Jonah was thrown over the boat by the sailors. And then this fish swallows him, and then he prays this prayer. I'm going to read it. It's really short.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about it. But my question for you is, what is he saying in this prayer?
Okay.
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 We'll talk about it. Starting in chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed up. Again, look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. End of prayer.
End of prayer. Okay. Amen.
Amen. And all God's people said, amen. All right. So what's he saying? What's he saying in the prayer?
Well, when did he pray this prayer? From the belly of the whale?
You are told in ESV chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish.
Okay. So he's in the fish.
He's in the fish.
And he's praying these things.
He's praying these things in the fish.
It's almost...
and why is that confusing for you?
Well, it's confusing for me because he's almost... It almost sounds like he's trying to talk God into doing these things to rescue him when he's currently not rescued.
Okay.
Like he's current. Okay. And it... And maybe you put these ideas in my head in the introduction.
Come on, don't do that to me.
No, I just mean to say there wasn't any seemingly repentant language in there from Jonah. Mm-hmm. It was just, you've punished me and you'll save me. That kind of seemed like the gist of his prayer.
Okay. So you're saying, so he's praying in the fish.
Yeah.
And you're saying it seems strange because he's praying as if he has been delivered, but right. He's in the fish.
Right.
So it's almost like he's hopeful that God will do this thing.
Yeah.
Maybe he's saying it to like get God to do it.
It might be like a, hey, God, you need any ideas?
You delivered me from the pit. Maybe. I don't know if you want to. Hey, no pressure.
No
but
pressure.
You delivered me.
You don't
maybe.
Like it.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
That is exactly what I think most people think and what I thought.
Okay.
And I think we're all wrong.
Ooh.
Not like everybody's wrong. Yeah. I think like there's obviously people who read it right. I was just reading it wrong before.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's thrown into the waters and he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we think, okay, he's in the belly of the fish and that is the place of death.
Okay.
But working back through the language, the fish isn't the place of death. It's the place of deliverance. It's the vehicle of deliverance. The place of death is the waters.
Yeah, because the waters poured over him or however he said.
Yeah, okay. So we'll work back through his prayer. Okay. So verse 3 and 4 are Jonah's cry in the waters of death. Like he's in the waters. He just got thrown in.
Okay.
He's never been at sea before, maybe. He's doggy paddling now. He's sinking fast type of thing. Like he's gargling water type of thing. He's going down quick. So verse 3 and 4. Oh, excuse me. It's verse 2 and 3. It's verse 2 and 3. He says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. Okay. So there's the link of belly.
Sure.
But he doesn't say the belly of the fish.
Right.
He says, I cried out from the belly of Sheol, or which is death.
Mm-hmm.
I cried out from like the pit of death, the belly of death. And you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep. It's a word for water.
Mm-hmm.
You cast me. So it's not the sailor. The sailors didn't throw me in. You threw me in.
Right.
You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the flood, like water, the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows, like which are another term for waves, all your waves and your waves, they were passing over me, right? I couldn't get any air. Then I said, okay, what's the context for what he's recounting him saying? He's in the water.
Right.
Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. Okay, so his cry, Jonah's cry, he's recounting his cry of, I'm dying.
Right.
And that cry is taking place in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So he's drowning in the water, and he's like, woe is me, I'm about to die. Then we get to verse 4, where he says, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple.
Hmm.
So we go from Jonah's cry to Jonah's hope beyond the waters of death.
Yeah.
This is a resurrection passage.
Huh. Okay.
Not just because Jesus says Jonah in the belly of the fish is a resurrection
right.
type of him.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm about to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll again look at God's temple.
Yeah.
Jonah is under the assumption as one of God's covenant people that even though I'm about to die, I'll again look on God's temple.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How could that possibly be? Because as an Israelite, he has resurrection hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is instilled. So he's crying in the waters. He's about to die. And as he's facing death, his hope is resurrection.
Yeah.
But then we move from Jonah's cry to Jonah's hope to Jonah's deliverance from the waters of death, verses 5-7, where he says, the waters closed in over me to take my life,
mm-hmm.
my final breath before I sank down. And he says, the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. None of this is fish language.
Right.
Weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, like seaweed. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the root of the mountains, like where the mountains begin at the depths of the sea. At the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. In other words, like there's no way I'm getting up
right.
from the depths that mm-hmm. I'm at. And yet, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. What? You and he goes on, when my life was fainting away, basically like when the light was about to go out
mm-hmm.
on my life. I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. In other words, with one fleeting Hail Mary, like God, you heard me.
Yeah.
And you saved me. Okay. So then you go back to the start of the chapter. Why did God appoint a fish to swallow Jonah? At least in Jonah's understanding, Jonah's sitting there and he's like, a fish just swallowed me and I'm alive because God heard my prayer.
Right.
As I was about to die in a fleeting remembrance of God,
mm-hmm.
God heard that and he saved me. But he's in the fish. That's the thing. Like he's in the fish.
Right.
He's in the fish right now. And Jonah interprets the fish as being the vehicle of God's deliverance from the waters of death. So while he's in the fish, then with the final verses of his prayers, like verse 8 and 9, this is Jonah's commitment beyond the waters of death. He's like, well, God's delivering me.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And that's when he says, you know what? Those who pay regard to vain idols, like empty nothingness, they're forsaking their hope of steadfast love, of covenant love.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'll do is, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. And what I have vowed, I will pay.
Mm-hmm.
Because salvation belongs to you. Basically, I'll do what you say.
Yeah.
That's like what he's saying. I'll do it.
Yeah.
What you've commissioned me, I will do, is mm-hmm. what he's saying. And then the Lord spoke to the fish. The fish vomited Jonah upon dry land.
Wild.
Okay. Tell me your thoughts, and then I'll tell you more of my thoughts.
Well, I am immediately reminded of, I think, 1 Peter, when he talks about the waters of baptism
okay.
and the wrath and how Christ was the vehicle, Christ was the ark
mm-hmm.
in that. And so I see some of that kind of, that same, not resurrection, but that kind of protection, a substitutionary atoning kind of imagery that we see in the ark, not the ark of the covenant, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
the ark of Noah.
Right. Yeah. And then Christ in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was thinking the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Sorry. I wish I had more
great.
To offer you.
okay. So,
I mean, obviously the fish is not, now that we've walked through the text, the fish itself was not a tool of God's judgment, which is probably how most Well, that's how I grew up, always understanding the fish.
Yeah, it's a tool of deliverance. Mm-hmm. However, here's where it gets spicy.
Okay.
At least my thought, it's like, this is awesome all of a sudden. The fish is a sign of death. Okay. So, I mean, he's literally getting swallowed by a giant fish. Mm-hmm. That sounds like death to me, you know?
Right.
And the correlation of he's in the belly of the fish, but he talks about the belly of Sheol. Mm-hmm. Like these are equated ideas. There's also a prophetic image in the Old Testament of the nations who take Israel and then Judah into exile are like giant sea monsters that swallow up the Israelites.
Okay.
And take them out of the land. Like, to be consumed by something is to die.
Yeah.
You know, be consumed by lions, stuff like that. Even Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 12, he says, he's rebuking people, but he says, starting in verse 39, he answered them and he said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth."
Okay.
Okay. So Jesus is correlating the fish to his time in the tomb,
mm-hmm.
which was when he died.
Right.
Crucified on Friday, buried into the tomb, into the earth,
mm-hmm.
and then resurrected on Sunday, 3 days, three nights in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus is correlating his burial, which is his death and burial, with Jonah in the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then I guess everyone wasn't wrong about thinking of the fish as death.
Sure. Is there any chance, and you'll have to correct me on this, is there any chance that Jesus is just referring to the timeline of 3 days?
Well, it's not just the timeline. The fancy word is a typological pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So there's both a correspondence and an escalation. Jonah's a real person. Jesus is a real person.
Right.
Jonah was alive, but buried mm-hmm. in a sense. But Jesus actually died and was buried in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah, in a sense, resurrects by being vomited up onto the dry land.
Yeah.
He finds, in a sense, new life.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus literally resurrects. So yeah. there's it's clear correspondence like across the board.
Okay. And escalation.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. So it turns out like all of our friends who thought the fish was the death that mm-hmm. Jonah's being delivered from, they were right.
Okay.
So is Sean wrong right now?
I got whiplash.
What if we're both right? Okay. Hear me out, Chris. Jonah understands the waters to be the waters of death.
Okay.
And the fish is the means of God's deliverance.
Dark.
Which means death is the means through which we are delivered.
Death is the means by which we are delivered.
Maybe I'll say it a different way.
Okay.
It's not that we're delivered from death.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we're delivered through death.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. Jonah's not delivered from death. He's actually delivered through death.
Okay.
Through being swallowed by the fish. It's actually death that he passes through and finds life on the other side.
Huh.
Just like Jesus passes through death.
Right.
And finds life on the other side. And just like we pass through death through Christ,
mm-hmm.
but through faith, we are crucified with Christ. We die. And through that, we find life on the other side. Or as Jesus puts it, those who seek to save their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
Yeah.
Jesus says that you actually find life through death.
Hmm.
And that's what Jonah experiences also. He's not delivered from death. He's actually delivered through death.
Interesting.
And that's Jonah chapter 2.
Huh. Yeah. So it's not just about being like a little bit more nice as a person. Like being delivered through death actually means putting to death your...
No, it actually means going through death. Like, like the thing we think we need to avoid the most
mm-hmm.
is actually the thing that God is going to bring us through for deliverance.
Yeah.
It's the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we think is going to destroy us is actually the thing through which God brings the thing we need.
Yeah.
Our redemption, our salvation. And that's on a macro scale, but also on like a really small everyday life scale.
Yeah.
It's like the things that we think we should avoid are actually probably the things we need to go through.
Yeah. So I'm in my head is spinning around that during his resurrection that he gained victory over sin and death. Mm-hmm. So then this would be
that is Jesus you are speaking of.
Jesus, yes. Yep. Not Jonah, sorry. So this would then be the fruit or the results of Jesus's victory over death. So death no longer has any lording power mm-hmm. over us because mm-hmm. we know that we're going to pass straight through death mm-hmm. into that resurrection life.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That death isn't going to be the thing that takes us. It's actually going to be the thing we step through into glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all I'm trying to show is that like Jonah 2 and lots of other Old Testament passages, we are being prepared for that idea mm-hmm. that when Jesus gets on the scene and he says stuff like that, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. That sounds paradoxical. That's a paradoxical statement.
Right.
But the Old Testament has been preparing for us for that the entire time. For instance, Jonah 2, where he's not delivered from death. He's actually delivered through death.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And on like a total aside tangent, a practical tip of prayer that most of Jonah's prayer in the fish is recounting another prayer that he prayed.
Oh yeah.
Right. He's like,
would have been his time in the water.
He's like, I was dying. Yeah. His prayer is him recounting a former circumstance. Like, uh-huh. Here's what was going on, God. I was dying. I thought I was going to die. Certainly I was going to die. And I kind of remembered you and you answered me and you heard me.
Yeah.
Therefore, and then all of a sudden it's like, now he's saying something new.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not going to forsake you. I'll do what you say.
Yeah.
I'll do what I've said I'll do for you. So your prayers can just be recounting former things that you have gone through to God mm-hmm. and recounting what God has done for you to God. That's a great way to pray, is to say, God, like last year I was praying for this and you heard it and you answered it mm-hmm. in this way. And I'm so thankful for that. That's a great way to pray.
Yeah.
Prayer doesn't always have to be spontaneously new things. It can be the remembrance of old things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what a great way to stir up your heart too, mm-hmm. is to remember how God has been faithful to you in the past.
Yeah.
And so, well, that is encouraging. Yeah. Looks like I'm not wrong, but also a little wrong.
We're all right.
I like it. We're all right.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Well, Sean, thank you for taking us through the waters and the belly of the fish through death to the cross.
Yes. Great summary.
All right, listener, hopefully you are encouraged and hopefully this gives you a little bit of insight as you're reading the Old Testament of looking for ways that it was in preparation for Christ and the work of Christ in your life today. So we will get you on the next episode. Bye. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.